אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
My guest today is a Holocaust child survivor who is known to most of you, Ruth Leiser. Shalom, Ruth.
Shalom, Nitza.
Ruth, you have an amazing story to tell about your survival. You were only 4 years old during the war.
Yes, I was 4 years old when it all started. But it actually didn't hit us personally till I was 6 when the German tanks rolled into Vilno, when they took over Lithuania. And that's when the slaughters of Jewish people started almost immediately, because all these two already 18 months that the occupation was in Poland, there were already ghettos and concentration camps and so on. So this was part of a larger plan of Hitler's conquest of the East, that by the time they started to attack Russia, first it was where I was, Lithuania, and they already were accompanied, the German Wehrmacht, the regular army, was accompanied by specifically trained units of soldiers who were mainly unfit for the regular army. They were emptied prisons and so on. And they gave them a crash course in killing, armed them heavily, and they accompanied their army. And their job was only to round up and to liquidate the Jews. So from June 41 till about September, around Yom Kippur 41, there were already massive, massive slaughters. And during that period, 1941, my mother's entire family was in one day taken to a forest and shot. And what saved us, because that's really what you're more interested, is me particularly. Fate dictated it that way, that a few years before the war, my father decided to go on the land to become a farmer. And my father, in due course, made it very successful, and all his workers and all the neighbors and the whole district of farmers, poor and well-to-do, everybody respected him because he did something good for everybody. So when in June 1941 the German tanks rolled past and towards Lithuania, and the killings already started right from the beginning, at least arrests and persecutions and so on. And the local population was sharpening their teeth to do away with the local Jews. So my parents were warned to flee wherever possible, because your life was in danger. So without any further ado, my parents threw a few things in a suitcase, only what they could carry, maybe a few valuable things. And when it was dark, just grabbed their most valuable possession, which they dragged around for a whole 3 years, was their children mainly. So I was at the time 6 and my younger brother was 4. So we fled our home in the middle of the night so nobody would see you. In the beginning it was into the paddocks, into the forest, and to a neighbor. From the early part of this saga, I remember flashes. And by the time I was 7.5 or 8 years old, I remember many more particular incidents from that period. But we were always, the children, my brother and I, we didn't talk. We were traumatized into total silence. Such silence that we didn't say a word, just looked at the parents, just were guided by every look and glance of the father, because to make any sort of noise, to speak or whatever, would betray our hiding places. This period, well, it took 3 years, a whole 3 years.
Where did you hide for 3 years?
We were always under the protection of one or another farmer. And it was mainly the people that my father had helped in the previous years. Farmers have a long memory. If you help them, they want to repay you. And a lot of other ones who felt that it was not right to kill people just because they were Jewish. And so most of them, those that helped us, risked their lives, literally, because in the Lithuanian regions, they actually killed farmers, any sort of Christians, for helping Jews. In fact, they made a gallows in the outskirts of the city and they hung several bodies as a warning that this is what's going to happen to you if you help Jews. There were at least 6 or 8 families or more that risked their lives to hide us, sometimes for days, sometimes for weeks, sometimes even for a month or two. But the rest of the time, we were always outside in the forest, in bushes, in ditches, in anywhere that you can find that you're out of sight, in holes dug in the ground for potatoes, every possible hiding place you can imagine, in stables, in attics, in the barn, anywhere at all. But that was the hiding places.
3 European winters in the bush?
Yes, exactly. I don't even know how we stood it. I don't know how we never got sick. I have no idea. We had no clothing. We certainly had no warm clothing. My brother and I we grew into the whatever we were wearing. I have no recollection of ever having anything new or in any case, we were always hidden in bunkers. And the bunker meant a hole, literally a hole dug in the ground, and we'd climb in, and whoever was protecting us at the time would cover up the hole and make it appear like a normal part of the barn or the house or whatever. Like there was one instance which was the main family that risked their life for us, and from there, from that place, we were dragged out of a bunker by the Gestapo. That was an unbelievable hole. It was dug underground inside the house, and the house was just a very, very primitive little hut.
You said the Gestapo discovered you there.
Yes.
What happened?
Well, that's a very, very long story, because this happened already in February 1944. So this was only several months. We were liberated in July 44, and this was February 44. So that event, I can remember, it was in a village in a godforsaken forest somewhere with 6 or 7 little huts, a little village like that. And this was already the second time that we went to this farmer. He literally risked their life for us. The Gestapo was actually sent out to look for my father. This is the most amazing part. February 44, the Russians were advancing. They were almost losing the war. There were no more Jews left because September 43 was the final liquidation of the remainder of the few Jews in the ghetto. And the final total liquidation. For the Gestapo to be so bent on trying to find this one Jew, they sent out 3 or 4 plainclothes men. They didn't realize that there was a wife and 2 children there. So one day in February 44, when people that were shielding us, there were a young couple that were absolutely terrified. They noticed some strangers in leather coats with boots, obviously, the Gestapo, they were going from house to house in the village, and they were approaching our hut. And so this man, his name was Sylvester, he was former worker on my father's estate. And Sylvester said that they're coming this way. They came into the hut, and they said they're looking for Katz. Katz was my maiden name. And so, of course, he said, oh, yes, he knew Katz, but he heard he's been long dead and so on. They pulled out their revolvers and they put it to his head and they said, we know you're hiding Katz. If you tell us where you're hiding him, we'll spare you and your family. Otherwise, I'll shoot you this minute. And so the poor man, he was so terrified that he showed them our hiding place. They just came rushing in and with their boots just shoved aside this, you know, nickel bed and uncovered this bunker, and they said, "Arouse," with a gun pointing. When they opened up the bunker, I was the first one out. They came to shoot us, and they were shocked when they started. The children started to come out, and then my mother, and then last my father. They didn't expect to have a whole family. And how we looked sitting in that soil, this was already 2.5 years, like rats probably will look. I remember how they kind of, I remember kind of hands on my collar searching, you know, because it was said that they hide valuables on children. It was sort of like a moment in history because my father, all this time, all these 3 years, and this wasn't the last time that we were nearly blown up, but he always knew when to grasp a situation. He didn't give up even at that time. The four Gestapo were there looking for him. They found him ready to shoot him. And even at that time, he didn't give up. My father kind of caught this moment and he fell on his knees and he started to beg them. My father somehow could feel that they were stunned just for a second, and he just spontaneously, you know, fell on his knees and he started to beg them to spare us. And my father started to say that my only treasures are the children and all I want is to save my children. We've gone through so much. The miracle was, in that particular case, is that they didn't knock him on the head, as it was the custom, or shoot him on the spot, and they just listened. And as they listened, he carried on talking. He was like a man possessed. My father had a tremendous charisma in his normal days. So even after being in these bunkers and being looking like a skeleton, maybe there was still something in his eyes that betrayed that he was a man that had a presence, because they listened. And the other three said, "What are you listening to this? Let's just take them out and shoot them." But the leader somehow, he was somehow hesitated. This went on for maybe a couple of hours because it could have been about lunchtime. And this was February, the height of winter. By 3 o'clock, it's already getting dark. In the meantime, Sylvester and his wife and children, they disappeared somewhere. They didn't touch them. They took us out. They say, "We go." They took us out with guns pointing into the forest, which was maybe 5 minutes walk, because this village was right in the forest somewhere. This was the miracle, that we came into the forest. They said to my, it was already dark because they had torches. They said to my father, "We're going to let you go against our better judgment because something possessed them." They said that to my father, "We're going to let you go, but you have to disappear from this district, because we have to go back to headquarters and say that we either didn't find you or we shot you." And so in 1 second, they were gone. We were left there standing in about meters of snow under a tree, completely stunned. What had happened here? That we are still here. We still survived. So this is how we survived that particular. But from February till the end, till June, till July, till we were saved, there were 1,000 life-threatening episodes before and after. It was even the hardest, probably, period that last winter.
What actually left the most lasting impression from that period?
A type of a fear, I think. What saved us, me more than my brother, because he was 2 years younger and he somehow shed it a bit better than I. It took me many, many years to really function with my peers after liberation. It took many years, a long time at least, to get used to walk in daylight, because for 3 whole years we were conditioned to be in darkness, that you're afraid to go out in daylight, because in daylight you can be seen and you can be shot or betrayed or killed. The thing that was good is that we survived with the parents, one of the very, very few cases in our town, because Vilno at 1941 had 80,000 Jews. And after liberation, there were no children. There were maybe six children within about 2 months after liberation. And my brother and I were two of them. Children all perished, I would say, except odd ones that were saved somewhere on a farm or in a cloister. Some of the nuns were very good. They would save a baby or so. But there were no children. And therefore, I've always sort of valued the fact that I had parents, because first of all, without parents, children that age didn't survive. And why my parents hang on to the children is another mystery, because lots of other parents, every parent, you know, treasures their children. I'm not saying that they were the only ones, but, and most of them died together. But there were such that left their children in a farm or somewhere, and it was easier for them. And my parents had perhaps an opportunity because we were surrounded by farmers, and they maybe could have left me or my brother somewhere on the isolated farm, but they didn't let the children out of their hands. And my father said that we live or die together. Unfortunately, everyone else died together. This is why it was such an absolute miracle that we survived together.
Ruth Leiser, I would like to thank you very much for sharing your story with us. Thank you. רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.